Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Red Men News. I'm Ross Chanley. This is Tom Dutton. And as you may be aware, we are backed by lovely people from The Athletic. They have some very good writers over there. I know we keep repeating this, but you know, a lot of you might not know. James Pearce, Si Hughes, Rafa Honigstein, Ollie Kay. There's absolutely loads over there. And as a viewer of Red Men News, you can get 50% off your yearly subscription. It works about £2.50 a month and you get a 30-day free trial. If you go to www.athletic.co.uk/Redmen News or Red Men TV actually works as well. Ooh. There's two of them. I felt like I nailed that.
No, you did well. It is
worth it. Loads of websites. I'm not going to name names, have loads of annoying pop-ups and ads. The Echo. The Athletic don't have that. So you want to go and get your Liverpool news. They get exclusive interviews, some really in-depth stuff as well, some analytic stuff from different writers. They've all got their own little fields, as well as a regular Redmen news, Liverpool news. Mm. It's awesome. Go and check it out. So, and go and start your 33-day trial. And if you don't like it, just chip it off. Speaking of The Athletic, Tom, James Pearce has come out with another worldie. This one's kind of based on Liverpool's kind of upper tier of management. And I know we speak a lot about Man United and the things that are all gone wrong there, which we kind of take joy in. But a lot of that we speak about is on-field stuff, the terrible, terrible players that they have, the terrible, terrible manager that they have. But a lot of it also stems from the top. And, you know, as 9 years of... FSG, which we'll come to on in a minute. This piece is all about, you know, our sporting director, the relationship that he has. And I love large parts of this because Michael Edwards, he's just kind of like some sort of superhero who we never see him talk, we never see him in interviews, never see him do anything. So this isn't come directly from Michael Edwards himself, but like sources close to FSG and that. And the fact that he doesn't take all the limelight, Tom, you know, and the incredible work that he does behind the scenes. And Gordon as well.
Yeah.
You know, the pair of them just doing this, you know, signs, I know you're coming to in a second. I was just not taking the limelight and letting Jurgen Klopp take all that, but being fine with it. I think having that, the, you know, what you talked about, the characters and the relationship they all have, the importance of having all that together
You need different people in different fields, different parts of expertise to be able to, for a collective group to work. And all these people realise, Michael Edwards especially realises that other people are doing great things around him. And towards the end of the article, actually, it speaks about how he's always quick to deflect the praise away. Talk about Salah's heroics, and he'll tell you about the importance of Fallows in getting that deal with Roma done. Joe Gomez from Charlton signed him, is down to Hunter's persistence. Harry Wilson doing well out on loan. That's all about the work done by Julian Ward in finding the right place for him. And I think that speaks massively about the man in terms of... keeping everyone on side, and it's not being nice out of just being nice. He appreciates the work that everyone's doing, and it's about saying these people are fantastic at their jobs. You don't take credit for everything just because you're the top. You know what I mean? And that's Jurgen Klopp as well, to a T. And I think both of them do it really well in terms of going, look, I'm not the be all and end all. There are people around me who know this stuff better than me. They work hard on this section of what we need to do. And I think for a business to be done successfully, you need to be able to go, no, these people below me are fantastic at what they do, and this is what they do right. And Michael Edwards is brilliant at that.
It's absolutely glorious. And as I mentioned before, you know, we look at Manchester United and, you know, it's all going wrong there. You know, they've gone like down a different route. You can kind of see, you know, all the problems that they've got from the stop, and they don't have that married relationship. Whereas, you know, Michael Edwards is, like you said, is giving praise, but he's also constructed the team. I think it's kind of local media maybe that have kind of pinned him up to be this superstar.
Yeah.
But a full credit to him for, you know, just kind of taking it on the chin and the pathway that he's gone through as well. It goes in depth on that. You know, he was a a recruitment and analyst, and he's got worked his way up through the ranks. So it's not like he's just been handed a job or anything like that. He's, you know, he's quite humble about it, I thought.
Yeah, and then obviously Liverpool's success in the transfer market stuff. I mean, go over to The Athletic and read this article. It is fantastic, but that's kind of leading into the fact, look, the players that we've signed, Mane, Salah, Van Dijk, Alisson, he's been a massive part of that. And I mean, we'll move on to the FSG stuff now, which is basically FSG have been with us for 9 years, Ross.
Before we start this, actually, I want to get your thoughts in the comments of what you think of FSG, because there's been a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of people that still don't like them. There's people that actually really appreciate them, what they've done, or whatever. It's not just the start of FSG form. We thought about this before we started recording. It's at the end of Hicks and Gillette, You know, spin it that way, it's actually glorious. But there's a, funnily enough, on the Echo, there's a page on that, and they've gone through everyone who Liverpool signed. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it might take a while, but you know, you go back to, I'll just go through the start and do a little bit in the middle. So first signings, Andy Carroll and Luis Suarez. That was forced, obviously, a little bit, because obviously Fernando Torres jumped ship and we had a lot of money to spend. A lot of that was wasted. But I think, and I get people's frustration with FSG, I think they made mistakes. I think they came over from a different field, to use a pun, of, you know, baseball and, you know, soccer to them, but wasn't their speciality, and they had a lot to learn on the job, and it cost them at some point. So I'll just go through some of these. If, like, you know, Jordan Henson, fine. Stuart Downing, no. Jose Enrique, fine. Charlie Adam, Quates, Bellamy. But as you go through, of like, even you can see the progression, can't you, Tom, of the dross that we kind of brought in. Barini, Allen, Sahin, Asiedi, Yezel.
Asiedi was fantastic on PES, by the way.
But you don't sign people that are fantastic on PES, do you,
Tom? Well, I was made up. He was in the PES squad. He had pace for days. Like.
And then Mingle, Aspas, Sacco, Alberto, Ilori, Torre, Moses, Sissoko.
Who was your favourite signing in the FSG era? Like, your favourite, your best and worst, let us know in the comments. It's funny, because one of the very first, sorry, I'll just scroll back to the top, one of the very first up here is our captain right now, Jordan Henderson. So he comes in summer 2011, you know what I mean? So there are players there. Obviously, Craig Bellamy was good for us back then as well. I mean, it was the second time coming in.
Look at the outs,
that's the thing. And it's one of them for me as well, where it's not just the signings, ins and outs, it's the fact that they've slowly regained trust in terms of they're giving people roles now, and I mean that's what they wanted to start with, but in terms of Michael Edwards, in terms of Jurgen Klopp, and the way that they've just gone, right, you know what you're doing, we've appointed you because we know that you know what you're doing, we trust you with this now. And I think that was a big thing, is they stopped trusting people signing players, especially after the fallout of these high profile mistakes, basically, in terms of signings, which are Andy Caddle. But Andy Caddle did a few great things for us.
Things like Stuart Downing, I think it's the amount of money that they're spending as well. I think they got the fingers burnt with Stuart Downing and go, actually, hang on a minute, let's kind of stop this. And they brought those people in to go and do it, which is fantastic. So let us know your thoughts on FSG.
I'm really happy, by the way, just lastly on FSG, and let me know your thoughts on FSG, like Ross said before. But I'm really happy the fact that, look, they have stuck it out. And I remember Chris speaking about, I think it was like 297 million was the value of the club when they first came in. And now it's about 1.3 billion.
Yeah.
At this point. So, yes, it is a business for them, but it's a lot of people used to say and bandy around that they're only in it for the money. And I guess if they're only in it for the money, that's what they've succeeded in doing. But by doing that, they've built this amazing side, or they've helped to build this amazing side. They've funded this. And think of how happy we are right now with this Liverpool side. A lot of that's down to them, and I'm quite happy that there was a lot of time when FSG out was getting bandied around constantly. We used to have comments constantly, every live show we did, there was at least 3 or 4 people FSG out, Twitter names all over the place, FSG out, and no, you don't see that anymore. No. And that's a testament to them, and obviously the people that they've appointed.
And including that is Jurgen Klopp. They got him in, so I'm proud of that. Moving on, Jamie Carragher's tipped Steven Gerrard to be Liverpool manager at some point in his career. I think we all want it, don't we? But it just comes up all the time, doesn't it? I think there's a lot of talk of Jurgen Klopp. He keeps getting asked when he's going to be going. No one's going to Steven Gerrard go and do it. So this is basically come from the Mirror. There's a top line somewhere. He says, you know, it's all about time with managers, but I'll just read this out. It's from Carragher. It says, Stevie will be in the reckoning because he's Steven Gerrard. More importantly, because he's doing really well as a manager. There's no doubt that the more experience he has will enhance him in his managerial career. But there's nothing to say he couldn't go straight from Rangers to Liverpool. I can assure you now, however, that Steven Gerrard's focus is trying to stop Celtic winning 9 in a row and being successful at Ibrox. Again, I like loads of elements of that. And I think he kind of speaks of what I think of, don't just give him it because he's Steven Gerrard. Go and give him it because he's earned it and he's got the experience. We've seen with other managers in the league that don't have the experience behind them. Doesn't work out too well.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can see on screen right now, this is the Scottish Premier League table. Obviously, Rangers are top. 8 games played, they're on 21 points. Celtic are on 19. And for a long time, Celtic used to run away with this stuff. And the fact that he's been able to bring Rangers back to a level where they're fighting every... We fought last season as well, if we go back to 18-19. I don't fully understand the first phase, second phase stuff. I'm sure someone can sort of point that out. But look, even bridging the gap, I know they're not that close, but bridging the gap, getting them closer towards Celtic and...
On a budget as well, Tom.
Exactly. I think, look, Gerrard needs a lot more time at different clubs for me, but he's showing that I remember when he first went to Rangers, me and Si were having the conversation on it, and the thing that is brilliant about him going there is that he has to go there with a winning mentality. It's not like he's going to a mid-table Premier League club and you can go, well, we can get away with draws, we can get away with this kind of stuff. It's very much a case of Rangers, you win every game you play because that's what you need to do. And I think to get into Liverpool, you need to have that mentality. You can't be a Roy Hodgson, you've got to be a Jurgen Klopp. You know what I mean? You've got to have that mentality of you win every single game, and if you don't, that's not good enough. And I think Rangers is a great start for that in terms of going, every single game needs to be won, lads. Second best is not good enough.
No, it's a high-pressure environment is what you're getting at, isn't it? And you'll have that at Liverpool. I'll move on fast through some of these very quickly. Some very good news. Mohamed Salah, injury update. He's expected to be fit ahead of Manchester United on Sunday. This is from the Metro. I think they're reporting from somewhere else. But Liverpool,
it's coming from the Echo.
Liverpool expect Mohamed Salah to be fit for the start in Sunday's clash against Manchester United at Old Trafford. The Egyptian came off an injury time. Liverpool's 2-1 win against Leicester City for the international break. Salah was sent for a scan on the injury, but the Liverpool were lead when its results showed that he survived the tackle without serious injury. This is massive, isn't it, Tom? I think we all kind of knew, but it's nice to have reassurance, isn't it, of he will be fine. Obviously, it wasn't the best tackle. It was aggressive.
It was a cynical tackle from Charlie.
It was really aggressive. I think a lot of people, including Jurgen Klopp, questioned the power and the force it went with. It could have come off a lot worse, and he was nowhere near the ball.
He was nowhere near the ball. It was from behind. I remember we did a show on this. It was either in the final word or it was in a Red News roundup that week after it happened. And we were saying, that could be a red card offence. It really could be, because you're looking at it and you're thinking, if he rolls his ankle a little bit more, we saw it happen to Joe Gomez. It's fallen on it badly and there's a fraction and you're out for an extended period of time. And I think, let us know in the comments what you think about Salah coming back. I mean, is it as big as all that? Could we do without him? Or is it one of them where you need Salah back in this team, in this front three, to make it all work? There's obviously different formations that we talked about straight after it happened in terms of how can we play against United. Would you put Origi on the left, Mane on the right, and then Firmino in the middle? There's a lot of stuff that we could do. Maybe even Shaqiri comes in on that right-hand side, give him some game time. It is great that Mohamed Salah can... Maybe he doesn't start the game, but he can be someone off the bench in terms of you need a bit of extra firepower. I believe he'll start.
Oh, yeah.
And I want him to start because it's Mohamed Salah. But do we rush him back in? It's an argument that we had. We were speaking about it with Alisson yesterday. A lot of people had different opinions on whether we should throw him straight back in, or you give Adrian one more and you don't throw him in. In this, it's a big game. United
just had 2 weeks off, to be fair. Be fit and firing.
I hope so. But let us know in the comments. Just do you bring him straight back in, or do you play Origi and a different front three?
Very quickly, Robbie Fowler has spoken on why Jurgen Klopp hates clubs like Manchester United. And it actually turns out, Tom, this is out from the Metro. Klopp spoken in the Fowler spoken in the interview. He said in an interview with Klopp a couple of years ago, he told me he turned down a couple of super rich clubs after Dortmund. One of them was definitely Manchester United. The other probably Real Madrid, because he hated how they were focused solely on commercial influences. And this kind of comes back to the FSG stuff, how they did really well. They could have gone down that route of going, you know, plugging merchandise and commercial side of things, which we know Real Madrid and Manchester United are very good at as world brands. But I think it kind of ties into having, we spoke about relationships before, and having the same vision and the same, it's kind of morals, isn't it, really, of going, actually, I'm not into that. And I don't think FSG, Michael Edwards, wanted that. They want to focus on football and kind of drive it through that way. And that's what Liverpool have done.
Yeah, I mean, commercial influences to me sounds like Paul Pogba. And signings like that where it's a lot about branding and making money. And look, that worked for United. That's worked for United for a long time. You can see it's starting to drop off a little bit. And we had a great show with Matt Goldbridge, which is coming out today on the Redmen TV, which is all about, well, it was around the league, but it was very much his thoughts on United and the managerial situation he found themselves in and the future and stuff. Go over there and check that out. We've also done two fantastic build-ups. One's over on his channel, I'm pretty sure, and one's going on our channel, so make sure you find them when they come out. But it is one of them, for me, with United, where they're kind of reaping what they sowed. They've spent loads of money bringing in people that they don't need or they thought they needed, and they've spent too much money, and it's kind of crashing down on them, and I'm quite happy with it. You were sticking the knife in before at the start of the show. Look, you can't do anything else but laugh at it a little bit because it's United, but I don't know.
They were the same when Hodgson was in charge.
Exactly, yeah.
He's not sticking a knife in, he's just...
You were sticking a knife in, and that's fine. That's fine. I think we've earned that right now.
He took it well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Wasn't a prick about it. Honest. No. I love the way that we're talking about commercial things and you booked the website. Final one before we get into some comments. James Milner did a What I Wore with BT Sport. You haven't watched it. It's absolutely brilliant. There is a little clip there. I won't play it just now, but he basically says that he, after Champions League final in Kiev, he went on a little holiday in Spain somewhere to try and get away from Gareth Bale and the likes that kind of ruined his night. And he went to go and play golf and Gareth Bale buggy was right in front of him. It is dead funny. But comments... Sorry.
Right, so where are we? Couple on FSG. So Joey Murray says FSG haven't always done things well, but what I've been impressed with is their learning in that time.
Yeah.
They're winners and actually care about adding to the trophy wall. Keep learning, FSG. And then a couple of the best and worst signings ones. Cairo Mitchell says best, Van Dijk worst, Carroll. Joey Murray says best signing in FSG area is definitely Van Dijk. Best piece of business was Coutinho, and the worst signing was 100% Konchesky. I think Roy Hodgson can get the blame for that one rather than FSG.
I think just firstly on the first comment about FSG learning, that's massive. It's being able
but
to.
I think
take...
Konchesky was an FSG one. I think he was before that, wasn't he?
Was he?
Mm. I doubt. Pretty sure it was.
I don't know,
yeah,
but
I think he was. Yeah,
he was before. So there you go. I mean, it was still a terrible signing, but I think the learning thing's massive for me because you have to take past the community. There's no point beating your head against the wall trying to do the same thing over and over again. And I think obviously, like you said before, they did get burnt with the Andy Caddle stuff, and that kind of tempered a lot of signings, and they changed the model. But now they're learning. They've learned that model doesn't quite work. It does work to a point, and then they've got to go out and they've got to buy Alisson, they've got to buy Virgil van Dijk, and that's ultimately rewards. We've done it the right way up until a certain point, built the model really well, youth, and you can see the youth development now has been fantastic. But then at some point, you've got to go, we need proven talent. Virgil van Dijk, like a few of the comments there were saying, was literally go in, make this defence better and win us the Champions League, and that's what happened.
What was really interesting, actually, you did a 4 years Jurgen Klopp show yesterday, and in that Steve spoke about Sadio Mane being arguably one of the best signs that we made, yeah. Only not in terms of, you know, compared to Virgil van Dijk, he's completely different, but in terms of, like, he's got us that fourth spot, he spurred us on, okay, we missed him for AFCON and stuff like that, but in terms of being vital to where we are now, I thought was actually a really good point, which is over on YouTube and the Redman site for free. One more, Si.
Then, an interesting one on Salah. Old Trafford is the one ground that Salah's yet to score at, so he'll be dying to get a goal here.
Ooh. Oh, records are made to be broken as well. And Liverpool can go for the 18th victory on the spin as well. Let's go and make that happen. I'm torn. I love that comment. I think that should spur Salah on to want to go and get a goal or pass to Sadio Mane at some point and just beat them, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't care if Salah scores or he doesn't. Yeah. He'll get that goal at some point. He works so well on that right-hand side, doesn't he? Obviously, he's had a downturn in form recently, but he's still been influential in games. He's still been really good as an outlet ball and maybe not doing the defensive work that Sadio Mane sort of does all the time, but in terms of being that ball that you need, and you know for a fact you've got a pace merchant, he can hold the ball up and he can win a few fouls by getting... into the defender's body. I absolutely love that.
He's done it before. I think we played Watford. I'm not going to compare Man United. No, I'm going to compare Man United to Watford. But I think we won 5-0 and he didn't score or he didn't assist, but his influence on the game just kind of just blew them apart. And he was winning free kicks and getting the right positions and, you know, causing problems. We're going to wrap it up there. Don't forget, go and check out The Athletic. It's www.theathletic.co.uk/RedBenNews to start your yearly subscription or 33-day free trial.
There you go.
50% off. It works about £2.50 a month. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow at 12:30 for some more news, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.